Thank you for his presence. Amen. Amen.
We welcome the Holy Spirit today. In fact, if the Holy Spirit doesn't come today, you may as well stay at home. But there's something I was thinking when we were singing that song. I love that song. He doesn't come reluctantly. He doesn't come reluctantly. He comes because he loves us, and he speaks light and life and truth into our hearts. And when the body of Christ assembles, it's God's great joy. He's not reluctant that he needs to be here today. It's the whole point of the gospel is that he wants to be here today. And he wants you to be here today to experience the Spirit. But the Spirit always comes in truth. The Spirit speaks life. Speaks light into the darkness. So I welcome you today. We welcome the Holy Spirit together into this place. Well, we're going to begin a new year on Wednesday. 2020. I remember thinking 2020 seemed like such a long way off, kind of futuristic, a date they'd use on Star Trek, not in real life. Some of you might be excited about this new year, and some of you might be anxious about it. Depends upon where you are in your life and what your circumstances are right now. Let's face it, the world we live in right now, if you know anything about this book, the world we live in right now is on borrowed time. According to the Word of God, from His perspective, we are already on borrowed time. Wars and rumors of wars. Sin is rampant everywhere. Jesus said that near the end, the love of most, not a few, most would grow cold. Right before the end comes. Just on Christmas Day in Nigeria, and it wasn't an accident that it was on Christmas Day. It was on purpose that they beheaded 11 Christians in Nigeria on Christmas Day to make a statement to the world. We are in a spiritual war. We're watching churches, yes, even in Kentucky, yes, even in our town, abandon the Bible. Who would ever imagine a time would come, especially in the Bible Belt, to where churches would abandon the Bible? They would walk away from truth. And you must know this, that if a person decides to walk away from truth, the only logical explanation is that they've decided to create their own truth. And if you think you can create your own truth, then you must also believe that you are your own God, able to decide truth for yourself. But we're watching it. It's real. And it's not unusual for me to see it in the world. What is shocking is that it's in the church. There's political chaos unlike any time in world history. Our political environment is toxic. And the threat of nuclear war is ever increasing. North Korea, Iran, Russia just announces they have a supersonic missile that nothing can shoot it down. So I ask you this, should we Christians be anxious and fearful? I mean, if you look at all of this and it's pretty much truth that we're living on borrowed time, should we be anxious? Should we be fearful? Or could this, let me give you an alternative, could this possibly be the greatest time for the church in the world? You see, I've come to the conclusion that the light shines brightest in the dark. When it is the most dark is when the light seems to be the brightest. And we're the light of the world, right? A city on a hill. You don't take a light and put it under something. You put it on a lampstand so the whole world can see the light. Today, I want to use my many, many years at Camp Calvary to illustrate a point to open up today. So I did something. A few weeks ago, I sat down and I wrote just a paragraph I want to read to you to set the stage for today's topic. Here's what I wrote. I spend 1 week every summer with about 90 to 100 middle school kids at Camp Calvary, and I've noticed a phenomena that I want to talk about today. Every year, I watch God transform lives as He removes the world stuff and replaces it with God stuff. We don't have any television there at camp, no radios, or a lot of outside influences, well, some occasional cell phone issues. We spend each and every day reading God's Word, praying, singing His praises, and fellowshipping with Jesus as the center of that fellowship. Even the hardest hearts are softened by Wednesday, and by Thursday, the toughest guys were weeping in repentance and crying out to God. The only anxiety I could find was on Thursday night when we talked about going home to the world. I usually have several kids come to me and tell me they don't want to go home. Because they have found peace in that place. They have found living water in that place, and they have tasted that which satisfies the human soul. A peace that satisfies the thirsty human soul. That's what I wrote. Now, I've been doing this Camp Calvary thing for over 20, maybe 25 years. I'm not sure when we started it. What does that have to do with us today as we await the coming new year? I want to use that story to set up where we're going today. Today, I want to play doctor and give you a prescription that will cure anxiety and fears in the new year. Today, I want to use the Holy Scripture to give a prescription for peace that transcends all human understanding of the word itself and satisfies the desire of the human soul. Don't worry, as I give you this prescription, it does not include 1 week at camp with middle schoolers. To which all of you would say, amen, brother. This prescription can calm your soul and give you peace with yourself and with God. And here comes the best part. Regardless of your circumstances, it is not conditional upon your circumstances. What I'm offering you today through the Word of God doesn't matter what happens in the world in 2020. It's bigger than that. And here's my conclusion. Everybody wants peace. Everybody wants this thirsty soul to be satisfied and still and quiet. Peace. Everybody wants it. But not everyone knows where and how to get it. Everybody wants it. There'd be no debate. Doesn't matter whether you're a believer or you're a non-believer. Everybody wants this peace inside their heart. But they don't know where and how. I did a little research this past week. I read where 1 in 6 Americans right now are on antidepressants. Antidepressant usage in America has jumped 65% in the past 15 years. You tell me what's happening. Tell me what's happening. Now, if you're on antidepressants today, I'm not here to mess with you. I'm just asking a question. Today, God's Word speaks life into this room. Life, peace, truth, light. What do you think's happening? Everyone wants this peace, but not everyone knows where and how to get it. I'm going to show you the where and the how today. Actually, I'm going to let the Apostle Paul do it, and I may call him Dr. Paul today to reveal it. So I want you to visualize something. What if there was a medicine that was available to you that would give you peace inside of you? Not a pill, but a medicine. And what if God revealed this medicine to the Apostle Paul through the Holy Spirit, a prescription that comes from God through Christ, the Holy Spirit, the great physician, to an apostle named Paul, and the prescription can be written in your name, available for you, and the result is a peace that transcends human understanding in your heart. Would you be interested today? Or would you say, no, I've gotten used to stress, preacher. I've gotten used to worry. I don't even know what I'd do with myself if I didn't worry. This is good medicine. In fact, I'm going to tell you the best part about the medicine. It doesn't have any bad side effects. I watch TV commercials sometimes, and there'll be some medicine come on there, and it'll be the cure to what, restless leg or toe fungus, but then you hear the side effects, and the side effects will probably cause the suicidal thoughts. Well, listen, I'd just as soon have the toe fungus, if it's okay with you. What we have today is a medicine from God through the Holy Spirit to the Apostle Paul that has no side effects, and everything about it's good. And it gives you peace that transcends knowledge. Would you be interested in taking the prescription personally? Philippians 4, verse 4. It's good medicine. Always be full of joy in the Lord. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again. Rejoice. Let everyone see that you're considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. I read that one of the big online Bible apps posted this last week that the number one scripture accessed online last year is this verse. Do you see what the world is thirsting for? Peace. It's the number one accessed scripture in the Bible. I want you to imagine all of that on the side of this bottle today. That verse is written here, prescribed by God through the great physician Jesus Christ, delivered through Dr. Paul into this room today. Can you do it? Can you follow this prescription from God? Can you do it? Will it actually work? Full of joy. It says the first part of the prescription is it makes you full of joy. Now, I got to tell you, that's very different than being full of happiness. There's a whole lot of people that are full of happiness because they keep themselves distracted from reality, but that's not what it means to be full of joy. You see, happiness is based on circumstances. Happiness is based on something that's exterior, that's influencing you. Happiness is based on circumstances, but joy is something deep inside you, connected to hope. Let me give you an illustration. If you come up to me after the church service today, meet me out in the lobby and hand me $1,000, it'll make me happy. And if any of you want to test that, just I'll see you outside. You see, happiness is based upon some external condition that I have now encountered. Joy is not in this prescription. Happiness is not in this prescription. In fact, joy doesn't have anything to do with external circumstances. It has something that happens on the inside of you. And that something on the inside of you doesn't have anything to do with what's happening in the world or in your personal life. So let's break this down. So that I want you to understand today when you leave what this prescription from God through the great physician to the Apostle Paul can offer you and how you should take it. Because it promises no side effects and an anxiety-free, joy-filled life. peace. Paul connects, here we go. Paul connects joy with rejoicing. Anybody notice that? He connects joy to rejoicing. Can you see how this is not the same as happiness? Can you rejoice and experience joy in the midst of sorrow and trouble? So let's start with practical application of the medicine. Can you experience joy in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of trouble? Let's ask Jesus. He is the author of truth and the one who prescribed this medicine to the Apostle Paul. Here we go. John 16:20. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Here it comes. Truth. God is speaking truth in this room. Life. I tell you the truth. Now Jesus is looking at his disciples and the cross is coming. All right? Jesus knows the cross is coming. And he looks at his disciples and says, you are going to weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me. When they see him beaten and taken to the cross, you're going to weep and you're going to mourn when you see this happen to me. But the world, when they see the cross, they're going to rejoice. You, disciples, will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to what? Wonderful joy. You're going to experience some grief, but then something will override your grief. You will experience a wonderful joy. And here's his comparative. It'll be like a woman suffering the pains of labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives way to joy. Why? Because she has brought a new baby into the world. In the birth, there is pain, but the pain gives way to joy because something bigger than the pain has now arrived. And Jesus looks at his disciples, says, you're going to mourn, but then you're going to experience wonderful joy because something bigger than the mourning and the grieving is about to arrive. What is it that's bigger that brings joy? Verse 22. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Then you will rejoice. And no one can rob you of that joy. Now, how is he going to see them again after the suffering? It's called the resurrection. You're going to mourn now, but you're going to see me again. What's bigger than the suffering? What's bigger than the birth pains? What's bigger that can make joy inside of me? After the cross, I'll rise from the dead and I'll see you then. And read verse 22 again. So you have sorrow now, but I'll see you again, and then you will rejoice. And no one's going to be able to take away your joy once you know what the resurrection is. Are you with me? This joy is based on the resurrection, and the resurrection is bigger than anything you will ever face in this world. Anything. One more thing before we move to your ability to worship with this rejoicing. So a few minutes ago, we were singing songs, and I was on purpose just kind of sitting there listening. Do you know that there's a connection between your ability to worship and your ability to experience peace? Joy is reflective of rejoicing, and worshiping is rejoicing. So if you're in the room a few minutes ago and we went through that time of songs, and if you're struggling with that, and be honest, I'm not beating anybody up. If you're struggling with the concept of worship, if it just isn't working for you, that you really don't have a natural worship coming out of your heart right now, something's missing. Something's missing. Because the idea of worship is to rejoice, and to rejoice is not because I'm faking it, it's because I got some joy down in my heart. I'm not going to do it. I was going to sing it, but I'm not. And what do you think is going to happen when you got the joy down in your heart? What do you think is going to happen? You're not going to be able to sing a song of worship? No, you're not going to be able to stop singing the song of worship. So what's next in Dr. Paul's prescription? Next verse, you're going to love this one, verse 5. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. And remember, the Lord is coming soon. Two questions on this verse. What happens when you are full of joy? What happens? Joy-filled people are always, listen, joy-filled people are always considerate. You know who is not considerate? People who lack joy in their heart. They're inconsiderate. Do you see the connection? And here's the second question. What does remembering that the Lord is coming soon do to your joy and do to your peace? If you're in the room today and you believe in your heart, your joy-filled heart, that the Lord is coming soon. That's what the prescription says what? The prescription, here it is, from God through the great physician to the Apostle Paul to us in this room says what? Let everyone see that you're considerate in all you do. And remember, the Lord is coming soon. I want you to envision that's on the label of this prescription. What does it do to you when you know that the Lord is coming soon? And you might say, well, I don't know the Lord is coming soon. It's closer today than it was yesterday. It's not getting longer. It's getting closer. What's it do to you? I gotta confess, this is what keeps me in the race. See, I'm a realist. It keeps me in the race. That's my hope, and that is my joy. What? My hope and my joy is based on this sentence, that no matter what happens in the world, no matter what happens in my life, it cannot affect the arrival of my Lord. He's coming, one way or the other. Circumstances have no impact on the fact that the Lord is coming soon. I am anxious for Jesus' return. I use the word anxious, which means I'm expecting. I can't wait. I'm anxious for Jesus' return, but I do not have anxiety because of his return. Look at how the Apostle Peter describes it. And by the way, Peter also gives the prescription for anxiety-proofing your life. 1 Peter 1:3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God, by his great mercy, we've been born again. How? Why? What happened? Because God raised Jesus from the dead. Remember what he said? You're going to have sorrow for a while, but later you'll see me and you'll overflow with joy. Why? How does that happen? Because God raised Jesus from the dead, and now, because God raised Jesus from the dead, we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance. Look at the two things. We have great expectation. Why? Because God raised Jesus from the dead. We have a priceless inheritance. Why? Because God raised Jesus from the dead. An inheritance that's kept in heaven for you. Where is it kept? In heaven. For you. Beyond the reach of change, beyond the reach of decay, and through your faith, God is protecting you right now, protecting me, protecting you by his power until you receive the salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. Jesus rose from the dead. Everything I tell you today about this joy that produces peace is based upon a single truth. Jesus rose from the dead. Now, I don't know what big is bigger than this big. Jesus' resurrection from the dead has set up my great expectation. Jesus' resurrection from the dead has set up this great expectation from believers. Why? Because we believe that one day his resurrection will be my resurrection. One way or the other, his resurrection applies to me because Christ lives inside of me and I am following him into the resurrection. Now, I got two choices. Number one, is they're going to put me in a box one day and put the box in the ground. And on the last day, my soul will go on to be with the Lord when before they ever put me in the box. But on the last day, God's going to raise that body, that corpse, into the resurrection. He's going to put my soul inside that body. and there I'll be with him forevermore. Now that's option A. I'm hoping for option B. Option B is there's going to be a loud shout one day, and I'm going to rise. And as I rise, I'm going to experience a resurrection. There's a resurrection in both cases. And I'm going to get a new body, and he's going to raise me and meet him in the clouds, and we're going to be forevermore. Both of those, I am going to experience the resurrection of Christ, either through the grave or through the shout. Now we live with a great expectation. So I'm going to ask everybody in the room, do you understand that as a believer in Christ, you've got a great expectation? Because either through the grave or through the trumpet, the same thing basically happens to you. You get a resurrection, you meet him in eternity. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world when that happens. It doesn't matter what's going on in your neighborhood when that happens. It doesn't matter how much money you got or don't got when that happens. It's unstoppable. And now we live in a great expectation. Now we live with this great joy and this great hope, because our resurrection is also coming. Now listen, none of this has any application in your life if you don't believe it. The only way any of this has any application in your life is if you believe it. It's called faith. Not just resurrected body. That would be marvelous enough, but a glorious inheritance is being safeguarded and kept for me in heaven. This inheritance that he offers me and you is pure. It is undefiled. It is beyond the reach of decay and time. Do you see joy yet? Does anybody see a reason why there's something inside of me that is joyful, and it is has nothing to do with my circumstances, nothing to do with the condition of the world around me? God is right now protecting me. The Bible says God is right now protecting me from Satan while I wait for Christ to be revealed on the last day. What's next? In the prescription, I'll ask you again, do you want the peace that comes from God? Here we go. Next verse, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has already done. That's it. Worry less, pray more. It really works. Worry less, pray more. This Tuesday night, midnight, we start a new year. And as a custom we've done over the last several years, we launched the new year in prayer. And I know some of you in the room have participated in this over the years. We have a sign-up sheet in the lobby. And by the way, this isn't a promo for that, but I encourage you to take part in that. And for the first 24 hours of the new year, up in the education building, we'll set aside a room or two. And in 30-minute shifts, people are going to come in and they're going to pray for 30 minutes. Now, I want to tell you, if you're in the room today and you've never signed up and you've never participated for one of those 30-minute slots, some people sign up for an hour, then you have no idea what you're missing. And some of you think, well, I don't know if I could pray for 30 minutes. Then I understand why your heart lacks joy. He says what? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So this church has historically opened every year since I can remember by 24 hours nonstop around the clock, the whole first 24 hours of the first day of the year. You know, we send prayers up. And I encourage you when you leave here today that if you've never done this or if you have done it, that there's still several slots open. I saw before I came in here, go sign one of those. Why? Do you want peace? Do you? See, I'm convinced everybody wants peace, but they don't know how to get it. Or they think it's too complicated. Or maybe you just don't believe it works. Do you want peace? What do you have to lose except fear and anxiety? What do you have to lose? And then he says this, Then add to your prayer life two specific things. Did you notice what they were? Tell God what you need and then thank him for what he's already done. By what? Count your blessing. Tell him what you need. In fact, let me encourage you. Some people feel guilty by going to God and asking him for things. Don't feel guilty. If you've got children, you know what? If you've got children, small children, grandchildren, does it make you mad when they come and ask you for something? Get away from here, you little rat. Is that your vision of your father, that when you ask him for something, it makes him mad? That doesn't make you mad. You might not get it, but he's not upset that you ask him. So what's Paul, on the prescription, what does it say? Do you want peace? He says this. Tell God what you need. So when you start praying, tell him what you need. Or what you think you need, just tell him. It's not like he doesn't know. Tell him what you need. Just go on and do it. Be open. And then when you finish telling him what you need, do what? What's on the prescription? Thank him for what he's done. Count your blessings. Why don't you just try? Why don't you just try this? Why don't you just make this a lifestyle that you just do what he says to do and see what happens? Start counting your blessing. You see, there's a connection between rejoicing and worshiping in peace. And when I'm counting my blessing, when I say, Lord, I thank you that everybody in my family's healthy. And I thank you, Lord, that we have electricity and we've got food to eat. And Lord, I thank you for the church you've given us. And I thank you, Lord, for, and I just start counting. I thank you for where I live. I thank you, Lord, last night I slept good. I thank, Lord, just when you're doing that, you know what you're doing? You're worshiping. And when you're worshiping, joy is happening. Rejoicing is happening. And the reason I say that, while you're doing that, it's hard to worry. Are you with me? While you're thanking him, while you're asking him for what you need and thanking him for what he's already given you, you know what's hard to do at the same time? Worry. It's hard to worry in the middle of that. And by the way, how much good does worry do to you anyway? Jesus says the pagans worry. Unbelievers worry. But believers are not supposed to live a life of anxiety and worry. In fact, let me read it to you from the great physician himself, Jesus. Matthew 6:25. That's why I tell you not to worry. Don't worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than birds? Can any of your worries add a single moment to your life? So let me ask you, you worry warts in the audience today. Do you think that by worrying, by letting that worry, you know what it looks like? Because I've been there too. You know what worry to me looks like? It's like this thing that gets in your head and it just keeps playing a loop. And it just plays the loop. And you try to hit pause or you try to hit stop, and yet the loop just seems to keep going. What do you do? Well, it's on the prescription. Pray more, worry less. Tell him what you need. Listen, you're worried about something. Why don't you tell him? And then thank him for what he's given you. And watch what happens to the loop. And here's the point. Do you think letting that loop go undisturbed and just going over, do you think it's going to add any time to your life? Do you think that by doing that, you're going to add a day, 2 weeks, a year, maybe to your life at the end? No, you know what's really happening? You know what's happening? It's robbing you of your life. It's destroying you. And there's a medicine for that. And God has given a medicine for that. He's given something for all of us. Jesus teaches us to stop worrying and begin trusting God. Here's the foundation today. Stop worrying and trust that I am who I say I am and you belong to me. I'm going to give you an example. A very personal example. This in the last 10 days, I'll be careful how I word it. In the last 10 days, I'm going down the road, true story, a devastating true story. I get a phone call. And this phone call is bad. It's bad. In fact, in my world, in my situation, in that moment, I can't imagine a phone call being worse than this phone call. In fact, if what this phone call comes to me, if it materializes as I have heard it on the phone, it will be so devastating. It's going to be huge. It would rock not just me. It would rock a great number of people. I'm talking about huge. In fact, when I get the phone call, I am immediately overwhelmed while I'm talking. I am overwhelmed by this call. And I'm driving a car. I'm by myself. And this is so big. I mean, this is one of the biggest things that and I'm heading that way, by the way, toward this place where the phone call's coming. And I stop the car. And I pull off. And I said one word, help. I said, help. Because I know if you don't do something, this is going to be so, it's going to be so big, so bad, so horrible. Help. I started the car back up and I went to the place where the phone call came from. And by the time I got to that place, God had already sent two people ahead of me. And mediated most of it. And by the time I got there, all the things that I had in my mind thought was about to happen, none of them happened. Now listen, I'm going to tell you what I think happened. When I stopped and I cried out to God, He intervened. Now, if you don't believe that, that's on you, because I know who He is. And I know in that moment, He did what only He can do. He intervened in those people's lives, and He held back the darkness. He held back what was coming, and I know what was coming. And God said, no, not tonight. Not tonight. It's not coming. I said one word, prayer. And suddenly, I'm not going to say I had no anxiety, but I did have peace. Because I knew in that moment I had done the only real thing I know how to do. Is I trust that He is who He says He is. He is who He says He is. And if we call to Him, He will answer us. And He tells us not to worry. In fact, He says, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all this stuff will be added to you. I'll take care of the stuff part of your life. But you got to, Terry, you got to seek first the kingdom. You got to seek first the righteousness, and I'll take care of the stuff. The Apostle Paul has written this prescription to cure anxiety and fear. And you in the room today, you have a copy of it. I'm going to put it all together, and here's the reason. I've kind of read it in segments, but I want to show you what God said He will do if you will do the prescription, if you'll take the medicine. If you'll take the medicine, it's not about pills. If you'll take the medicine, I'll tell you what God says He'll do, okay? Is that fair? And then you'll be left to believe whether or not He is who He says He is. Philippians 4:4. I'll read all the way through verse 7. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. All right, there's the medicine. Now, what's God's response? Then you will experience God's peace. Do you believe the word of God is true? Then, in other words, you do the above. You take the medicine as prescribed, and then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Do all the above daily. Take the medicine daily, and you will experience God's peace. This peace with God, this peace with self, this peace with others is what your soul is searching for. Now, I'm going to try to read your thoughts in the room, because I am a realist. Some of you are going to say to me, if you'd be honest, you'd say, "Preacher, it sounds good, but it just doesn't work." Really? I'm going to say back to you, are you sure it doesn't work? Because I'm going to ask you a question. Did you follow the prescription? It doesn't work, preacher. Did you follow the prescription? Did you keep following the prescription? Did you think this prescription was to be taken once and then never again? Or did you understand that this prescription is a daily prescription for your life? Not just an event that I did one time way back when. I take a pill, I did a something, and now I don't have any more anxiety in my life. You will need to follow this prescription the rest of your life. Do you know why? Because our very nature has been corrupted. We're sick. Do you understand? We're sick. We're sinful. It's who we are. This medicine, you have to take this medicine the rest of your life because we've been corrupted by sin. And peace with God does not come easily, and it does not come naturally. And I've got to tell you, there is another power at work in this world. His name is Satan. He is the adversary. He doesn't want you to have peace. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And some of you still won't identify that he's real. And he robs us. How does he rob us? Because when we worry and we refuse to follow God's prescription for our life, we allow Satan a place in our life, a place of authority. Hebrews 3:12. And this letter is to the church. Be careful. Church, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that you take your medicine. Listen, make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning away from the living God. Take your medicine. What medicine? It's here. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning away from the living God. You must warn each other every day. Did you take your medicine? Did you take your medicine? This is it. Did you take it? No, I don't need that. Yeah, I read it last Sunday. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, that means you got to keep taking this. This prescription of God for an anxiety-free life, for peace. If we're faithful to the end, trusting God as firmly as when we first believed, we'll share in all that belongs to Christ. Remember what it says today when you hear his voice. Don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. We, church, listen, we are in a spiritual battle of epic proportions. This is not a feel-good, mushy sermon. This is life and death. This is heaven and hell. This is about people who are going to spend forever in outer darkness or forever in the light of Christ. And I want to make something really, really clear today, because I know some people could misunderstand. I need to tell you the truth. I need to speak life into this room. If you do not make peace with God, what are we talking about? Peace. If you're in this room today and you do not make peace with God, you have much to be anxious about. Are you hearing me? if you're in the room today and you do not have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you have not made peace with God, you have much to be anxious about. You make peace with God by accepting His Son as your King. And if you do not make things right with God through Christ the Son, you have much to fear. So if you think this fear and anxiety can be washed away by just feel-good preaching, you're wrong. You have to make peace with God before there'll ever be any peace in your heart. Why? You will never find peace and joy with God's wrath and judgment still in front of you. You make peace with God when His wrath and judgment is behind you on this thing called the cross. It's behind me. See, the wrath and the judgment that was mine already happened there. Because He was pierced for my transgressions. He was crushed for my iniquities. The punishment that brought me peace was upon Him. And by His wounds, I have been healed. But I'm going to tell you, if you're outside of Christ, that's in front of you. That's not behind you. That's in front of you. So you're not going to experience peace because the wrath and judgment of God still is in front of you. Jesus' death on the cross has made a way for you and I to make peace with God. Everything starts there. We must receive this gift of God through faith by believing Him. You can't just believe once, one day, and then go back to your anxious life. No, we believe until we stop breathing or until God comes and calls us home. But how? How is this really done? In real life, how does it work? The next line, verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. I want you to visualize something. I'm going to cut out and fix my thoughts on something. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Fix your thoughts. Now, I can connect the Camp Calvary story to this room. Do you know why Camp Calvary changes young people's lives inside of 5 days? Because we take this medicine every day for 5 days, and most of the kids in that camp aren't used to taking this medicine every day for 5 days. What is the medicine? Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and worthy of praise. It really does work. It really does work. I don't want to oversimplify. I am not trying to oversimplify joy and peace, no. But I'm going to tell you, we cannot serve two masters. You might think you can pull it off, but you'll be deceived. You can't do it. I can't do it. Jesus says, if you try to serve two masters, you'll love one, you'll end up hating the other. You can't love both. You can't serve both. So you will love the one you fix your thoughts on. And you will serve the one you think about all the time. But only God can take away your anxious heart. And only God can give us peace down deep in our soul. There's one more verse in this section, verse 9. And he says this, keep putting into practice all that you learned and received from me and everything you heard from me and saw me doing. And then, here comes the result, but you got to do the first part. Put into practice everything you learned from me and saw me doing. And then, what happens? The God of peace will be with you. You've got to keep doing it. Keep putting these life principles into practice. I'm talking about the Holy Scriptures. These are the words of life. These are the words of truth. These are the words that many churches now believe they can operate without. Everything I have covered with you today, everything, came out of this book called the Bible. The Bible describes exactly how you and I can make peace with God. The Bible describes exactly how you and I can make peace with ourselves and peace with other people. The Bible describes how you can have peace in a troubled world, in a troubled life. The Word tells us how to stop fear and worry and find joy and freedom. But these words, this prescription for an abundant life, doesn't do anything until you read it, believe it, receive it, and live it. So let's take a test. This past month, how much time have you spent in this book? You see, this medicine does nothing until you read it, believe it, receive it, and live it. Are you taking your medicine? I grew up memorizing the scriptures from the King James Version when I was a little kid. And I was thankful they made a new international version. And then they made a new international version, and I started memorizing that one. And Philippians 4:7 from the NIV is, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord." I want that. And the peace of God that transcends. That means it goes beyond our ability to talk about it today or understand it today. Will guard our hearts and minds, our heart and my mind. This peace is bigger than me. It's bigger than you. This understanding is bigger than me and bigger than you, because it's not from around here. It's from heaven. We were totally unable to make peace with God. In our original condition, we were totally unable to make peace with God. And then our Prince of Peace, you ever wonder why they gave him that name? And then our Prince of Peace came and became flesh, and he moved into our neighborhood. And I want to say it again, and I want to be very clear. Our anxiety and fear, our innate, natural anxiety and natural fear fundamentally come because we are not right with God without Christ. So our natural fear and our natural anxiety, which everybody has, fundamentally are because we are not right with God, our Creator. Something's wrong. We're not right with Him. We're not at peace with Him because sin has corrupted us. And if we remain, listen, church, if you remain in that not right with God condition, you have much to fear and much to dread. And you should have a lot of anxiety because judgment's in front of you, and it's coming too. But God did not leave us in our anxious condition. Oh, the love and mercy of God did not leave us in our anxious condition. In fact, John 3:16 says what? "For God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him is not going to perish." You want joy? There it is. You're not going to perish, but you're going to have eternal life. And God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. So I want to wrap it up. Here we go. We live in an anxious world, and more people are on medicines to try to control their anxiety. Why not try it God's way? And I want to be careful to say this too. I am not saying that anxiety medicine is wrong. But I am saying that God's anxiety prescription is always right. Always right. We don't need more pills. We don't need more distractions. We need more God. We need more truth about God. But there's one more thing today. One last thing. We add all these prescription ingredients to the camper's diet at Camp Calvary, but we do one more thing. Do you know what it is? We add to their diet what they don't usually get at home, at least in that level. But there's one more thing we do. We remove things from their diet too. Instead of TV, We do this. Instead of the radio, we sing our own songs to the one who is worthy. Instead of the newspaper or CNN or Fox News, we share what God is doing in our lives, and that becomes the story of the day. The overwhelming central focus in our lives in that setting at camp for 5 days becomes a single individual, and none of those single individual is not us. It's a man named Jesus, and he becomes the center of all attention for 5 days. So here's my conclusion in that camp analogy. The church is worldly. The church, we have become too worldly. We need to take out of our diet much of the world and replace it with much more of God. Sometimes we need to give up that which is good to gain that which is best. Philippians 4:8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable, right and pure, lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Be very careful, church, what you allow to go into your mind. Take away the bad and focus on putting in what is good. All of this begins with making peace with God. We make peace with God by knowing His Son, by bowing to His Son as our King. When Jesus becomes, here's the good news, when Jesus becomes our King, we put our trust in His sufficiency and power over us now and into eternity. When Jesus becomes our King, we belong to Him. It's His responsibility to take care of His people. Do you understand? When I belong to Christ, and when Jesus becomes my brother, and by the fact that He becomes my brother, I'm in Him, He's in me, we're in the Father. And because I'm in the Father, it's the Father's responsibility to care for His children. Do you think He can't do that? I don't know what view you have in life of a father, whether it's good or whether it's bad, but I'm going to tell you, He's a good Father. And He will take care of His children. And when His children cry out to Him, He will not turn away from them. When Jesus becomes our King, we stop worrying about this stuff. Because worrying says we don't believe God can handle it. It's called unbelief. We make peace with God only through faith in Jesus Christ. And we believe Jesus is everything He says He is. He's everything. And what do we conclude? It's a humbling experience. One last thought. I've been doing this preaching thing for a lot of years now, and I've noticed one consistent thing. When people come to Christ for the first time, or they come to Christ in repentance, they almost always come weeping. You ever wonder why? You ever just stop for a moment and say, why? I mean, sometimes it's ugly. I remember in 1988 when I walked down front, I had snot coming out. It was awful. I was totally broken. Everything about me was broken. Why? What is that? Because there's something about our will, our pride, our self-sufficiency that doesn't want to humble ourselves and bow down to this King. And yet the only way to make peace with God is we bow to this King. And when we come in our brokenness, and when we come in our humility, and we come in our absolute condition is, I'm a failure without You. I can't do anything without You. What does He do? 1 Peter 5:6. I love this scripture. So He looks and says, so humble yourself, lower yourself down under the mighty power of God. Quit fighting it. Humble yourself under the mighty power of God. And at the right time, He will lift you up in honor. Give all of your worries and cares to him. You know when you do that? You do that when you acknowledge his mighty power and you take yourself down, and that elevates him to his rightful place. And then he says, then I'm not going to beat you down at the right time. I'll raise you up because I'm a good father. Give all your worries, cares to God, for he cares about you. There you go. God's prescription for an anxiety-proof life. And actually, it's not this. It's this. And guess what? It's free. There's no copay. There's no deductible. You don't have to be in the network. It's right here. It's free. It's all by faith. By faith. And listen, faith is a powerful thing. Faith in Jesus. I'll ask Chad to come out for the invitation. Faith in Jesus does what? Because we believe the message, faith in Jesus, God the Father sends the Holy Spirit inside of our bodies. Inside it, right now. God, the Spirit of Christ, lives inside of me. It is a powerful force. He's here. And I'm going to tell you, there is no peace until he's here. Because until you make peace with God, he's not here. But when you make peace with God, he lives here. What's that scripture? And the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know. Now you know. You know. Do you want peace? Have you bowed your life to Christ? Does the Holy Spirit live inside of you? Right now, today, can you walk out the door and say, I have the peace that transcends human understanding because the peace of God lives inside of me. Can you say that? If not, why not? It comes by faith. By faith, you receive it, you believe it, it becomes yours. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit will do what only you can do. Open our hearts to receive this message today and experience your perfect peace in Jesus' name and amen. If there's a decision on your heart, come forward. Let's talk about it. Let's stand. Let's sing.